Chapter 131 is chiefly devoted to matters of business, and the temporal advantage of Dodson and Fogg. Mr. Winkle reappears under extraordinary circumstances. Mr. Pickwick's benevolence proves stronger than his obstinacy. Job Trotter, abating nothing of his speed, ran up Holborn, sometimes in the middle of the road, sometimes on the pavement, sometimes in the gutter, as the chances of getting along varied with the press of men, women, children, and coaches, in each division of the thoroughfare, and, regardless of all obstacles, stopped not for an instant until he reached the gate of Gray's Inn. Notwithstanding all the expedition he had used, however, the gate had been closed a good half hour when he reached it, and by the time he had discovered Mr. Perker's laundress, who lived with a married daughter, who had bestowed her hand upon the non-resident waiter, who occupied the one pair of some number in some street closely adjoining to some brewery somewhere behind Gray's Inn Lane, it was within 15 minutes of closing the prison for the night. Mr. Lowten had still to be ferreted out from the back parlor of the Magpie and Stump, and Job had scarcely accomplished this object and communicated Sam Weller's message when the clock struck 10. "There," apostrophe said Lowten, "it's too late now. You can't get in tonight. You've got the key of the street, my friend." "Apostrophe, never mind me," apostrophe replied Job. "I can sleep anywhere. But won't it be better to see Mr. Perker tonight, so that we may be there, the first thing in the morning?" "Apostrophe, apostrophe, why, apostrophe," responded Lowten, after a little consideration, "if it was in anybody else's case, Perker wouldn't be best pleased at my going up to his house. But as it's Mr. Pickwick's, I think I may venture to take a cab, and charge it to the office." Apostrophe deciding on this line of conduct, Mr. Lowten took up his hat, and begging the assembled company to appoint a deputy chairman during his temporary absence, led the way to the nearest coach stand. Summoning the cab of most promising appearance, he directed the driver to repair to Montague Place, Russell Square. Mr. Perker had had a dinner party that day, as was testified by the appearance of lights in the drawing-room windows, the sound of an improved grand piano, and an improvable cabinet voice issuing therefrom, and a rather overpowering smell of meat which pervaded the steps and entry. In fact, a couple of very good country agencies happening to come up to town at the same time, an agreeable little party had been got together to meet them, comprising Mr. Snicks, the life office secretary, Mr. Prosy, the eminent counsel, three solicitors, one commissioner of bankrupts, a special pleader from the Temple, a small-eyed peremptory young gentleman, his pupil, who had written a lively book about the law of demises, with a vast quantity of marginal notes and references, and several other eminent and distinguished personages. From this society, little Mr. Perker detached himself, on his clerk being announced in a whisper, and repairing to the dining room, there found Mr. Lowten and Job Trotter looking very dim and shadowy by the light of a kitchen candle, which the gentleman who condescended to appear in plush shorts and cottons for a quarterly stipend had, with a becoming contempt for the clerk and all things appertaining to the office, apostrophe placed upon the table. "Now, Lowten," apostrophe said little Mr. Perker, shutting the door, comma, "what's the matter? No important letter come in a parcel, is there?" Apostrophe, "No, sir," apostrophe replied Lowten. "This is a messenger from Mr. Pickwick, sir." Apostrophe, "From Pickwick, eh?" Apostrophe, apostrophe said the little man, turning quickly to Job. "Well, what is it?" Apostrophe, "Dodson and Fogg have taken Mrs. Bartle in execution for her costs, sir," apostrophe said Job. "No," apostrophe, apostrophe exclaimed Perker, putting his hands in his pockets and reclining against the sideboard. "Yes," apostrophe said Job. "It seems they got a cognovit out of her, for the amount of 'em, directly after the trial." Apostrophe, "by Jove!" apostrophe apostrophe said Perker, taking both hands out of his pockets, and striking the knuckles of his right against the palm of his left, emphatically, those are the cleverest scamps I ever had anything to do with. Apostrophe apostrophe, the sharpest practitioners I ever knew, sir, apostrophe observed Lowten. Sharp. Apostrophe apostrophe echoed Perker. There's no knowing where to have them. Apostrophe, very true, sir, there is not, apostrophe replied Lowten. And then, both master and man pondered for a few seconds, with animated countenances, as if they were reflecting upon one of the most beautiful and ingenious discoveries that the intellect of man had ever made. When they had in some measure recovered from their trance of admiration, Job Trotter discharged himself of the rest of his commission. Perker nodded his head thoughtfully, and pulled out his watch. At 10 precisely, I will be there, apostrophe said the little man. Sam is quite right. Tell him so. Will you take a glass of wine, Lowten? Apostrophe no, thank you, sir. Apostrophe, you mean yes, I think, apostrophe said the little man, turning to the sideboard for a decanter and glasses. As Lowten did mean yes, he said no more on the subject, but inquired of Job, in an audible whisper, whether the portrait of Perker, which hung opposite the fireplace, wasn't a wonderful likeness, to which Job of course replied that it was. The wine being by this time poured out, Lowten drank to Mrs. Perker and the children, and Job to Perker. The gentleman in the plush shorts and cottons, considering it no part of his duty to show the people from the office out, consistently declined to answer the bell, and they showed themselves out. The attorney betook himself to his drawing room, the clerk to the Magpie and Stump, and Job to Covent Garden Market, to spend the night in a vegetable basket. Punctually at the appointed hour next morning, the good-humored little attorney tapped at Mr. Pickwick's door, which was opened with great alacrity by Sam Weller. Apostrophe Mr. Perker, sir, apostrophe said Sam, announcing the visitor to Mr. Pickwick, who was sitting at the window in a thoughtful attitude. Worry glad you've looked in accidentally, sir. I rather think the governor wants to have a word and a half with you, sir. Apostrophe, Perker bestowed a look of intelligence on Sam, intimating that he understood he was not to say he had been sent for, and beckoning him to approach, whispered briefly in his ear. You don't mean that ear, sir? Apostrophe, apostrophe said Sam, starting back in excessive surprise. Perker nodded and smiled. Mr. Samuel Weller looked at the little lawyer, then at Mr. Pickwick, then at the ceiling, then at Perker again, grinned, laughed outright, and finally, catching up his hat from the carpet, without further explanation, disappeared. What does this mean? Apostrophe apostrophe inquired Mr. Pickwick, looking at Perker with astonishment. What has put Sam into this extraordinary state? Apostrophe apostrophe, oh, nothing, nothing, apostrophe replied Perker. Come, my dear sir, draw up your chair to the table. I have a good deal to say to you. Apostrophe, what papers are those? Apostrophe apostrophe inquired Mr. Pickwick, as the little man deposited on the table a small bundle of documents tied with red tape. The papers in Bartle and Pickwick, apostrophe replied Perker, undoing the knot with his teeth. Mr. Pickwick grated the legs of his chair against the ground, and throwing himself into it, folded his hands and looked sternly, if Mr. Pickwick ever could look sternly at his legal friend. You don't like to hear the name of the cause? Apostrophe apostrophe said the little man, still busying himself with the knot. No, I do not indeed, apostrophe replied Mr. Pickwick. Sorry for that, apostrophe resumed Perker, because it will form the subject of our conversation. Apostrophe, I would rather that the subject should be never mentioned between us, Perker, apostrophe interposed Mr. Pickwick hastily. Pooh, pooh, my dear sir, apostrophe said the little man, untying the bundle, and glancing eagerly at Mr. Pickwick out of the corners of his eyes. It must be mentioned. I have come here on purpose. Now, are you ready to hear what I have to say, my dear sir? No hurry. If you are not, I can wait. I have this morning's paper here. Your time shall be mine. There. Apostrophe hereupon, the little man threw one leg over the other, and made a show of beginning to read with great composure and application. Well, well, apostrophe, said Mr. Pickwick, with a sigh, but softening into a smile at the same time. Say what you have to say. It's the old story, I suppose? Apostrophe, apostrophe, with a difference, my dear sir, with a difference, apostrophe, rejoined Perker, deliberately folding up the paper and putting it into his pocket again. Apostrophe, Mrs. Bartle, the plaintiff in the action, is within these walls, sir. Apostrophe, I know it, apostrophe, was Mr. Pickwick's reply. Very good, apostrophe, retorted Perker. And you know how she comes here, I suppose. I mean on what grounds, and at whose suit? Apostrophe, apostrophe, yes. At least I have heard Sam's account of the matter, apostrophe, said Mr. Pickwick, with affected carelessness. Sam's account of the matter, apostrophe, replied Perker, is, I will venture to say, a perfectly correct one. Well now, my dear sir, the first question I have to ask is, whether this woman is to remain here? Apostrophe, apostrophe, to remain here. Apostrophe, apostrophe, echoed Mr. Pickwick. To remain here, my dear sir, apostrophe, rejoined Perker, leaning back in his chair and looking steadily at his client. How can you ask me? Apostrophe, apostrophe, said that gentleman. It rests with Dodson and Fogg. You know that very well. Apostrophe, I know nothing of the kind, apostrophe, retorted Perker firmly. It does not rest with Dodson and Fogg. You know the men, my dear sir, as well as I do. It rests solely, wholly, and entirely with you. Apostrophe, with me. Apostrophe, apostrophe, ejaculated Mr. Pickwick, rising nervously from his chair, and reseating himself directly afterwards. The little man gave a double knock on the lid of his snuff box, opened it, took a great pinch, shut it up again, and repeated the words, with you. Apostrophe, I say, my dear sir, apostrophe, resumed the little man, who seemed to gather confidence from the snuff, I say, that her speedy liberation or perpetual imprisonment rests with you, and with you alone. Hear me out, my dear sir, if you please, and do not be so very energetic, for it will only put you into a perspiration, and do no good whatever. I say, apostrophe, continued Perker, checking off each position on a different finger, as he laid it down, I say, that nobody but you can rescue her from this den of wretchedness, and that you can only do that, by paying the costs of this suit both of plaintiff and defendant into the hands of these Freeman Court sharks. Now pray be quiet, my dear sir. Apostrophe, Mr. Pickwick, whose face had been undergoing most surprising changes during this speech, and was evidently on the verge of a strong burst of indignation, calmed his wrath as well as he could. Perker, strengthening his argumentative powers with another pinch of snuff, proceeded, I have seen the woman, this morning. By paying the costs, you can obtain a full release and discharge from the damages. And further this, I know is a far greater object of consideration with you, my dear sir, a voluntary statement, under her hand, in the form of a letter to me, that this business was, from the very first, fomented, and encouraged, and brought about, by these men, Dodson, and Fogg, that she deeply regrets ever having been the instrument of annoyance or injury to you. And that she entreats me to intercede with you, and implore your pardon. Apostrophe, if I pay her costs for her, apostrophe, said Mr. Pickwick indignantly. A valuable document, indeed. Apostrophe, apostrophe, no, if in the case, my dear sir, apostrophe, said Perker triumphantly. There is the very letter I speak of. Brought to my office by another woman at 9 o'clock this morning, before I had set foot in this place, or held any communication with Mrs. Bartle, upon my honor. apostrophe selecting the letter from the bundle, the little lawyer laid it at Mr. Pickwick's elbow, and took snuff for 2 consecutive minutes, without winking. Is this all you have to say to me? ?" inquired Mr. Pickwick mildly. Not quite, ." replied Perker. I cannot undertake to say, at this moment, whether the wording of the cognovit, the nature of the ostensible consideration, and the proof we can get together about the whole conduct of the suit, will be sufficient to justify an indictment for conspiracy. I fear not, my dear sir, they are too clever for that, I doubt. I do mean to say, however, that the whole facts, taken together, will be sufficient to justify you, in the minds of all reasonable men. And now, my dear sir, I put it to you. This £150, or whatever it may be, take it in round numbers, is nothing to you. A jury had decided against you. Well, their verdict is wrong, but still they decided as they thought right, and it is against you. You have now an opportunity, on easy terms, of placing yourself in a much higher position than you ever could, by remaining here, which would only be imputed, by people who didn't know you, to sheer dogged, wrong-headed, brutal obstinacy. Nothing else, my dear sir, believe me. Can you hesitate to avail yourself of it, when it restores you to your friends, your old pursuits, your health and amusements? When it liberates your faithful and attached servant, whom you otherwise doom to imprisonment for the whole of your life, and above all, when it enables you to take the very magnanimous revenge which I know, my dear sir, is one after your own heart of releasing this woman from a scene of misery and debauchery, to which no man should ever be consigned, if I had my will, but the infliction of which on any woman, is even more frightful and barbarous. Now I ask you, my dear sir, not only as your legal adviser, but as your very true friend, will you let slip the occasion of attaining all these objects, and doing all this good, for the paltry consideration of a few pounds finding their way into the pockets of a couple of rascals, to whom it makes no manner of difference, except that the more they gain, the more they'll seek, and so the sooner be led into some piece of knavery that must end in a crash? I have put these considerations to you, my dear sir, very feebly and imperfectly, but I ask you to think of them. Turn them over in your mind, as long as you please. I wait here most patiently for your answer. Before Mr. Pickwick could reply, before Mr. Perker had taken 1/20th part of the snuff with which so unusually long an address imperatively required to be followed up, there was a low murmuring of voices outside, and then a hesitating knock at the door. Gutenberg Edition. End of chapter.